Welcome, everybody, for another AppleBiz Unleashed. This is for the April 2018 edition. I am here once again with the crowd here. We got Mike Malarcy over to my left.
How's it going, everybody? It's good to be back.
Another month gone by, and then already. On to the right, we have Mr. Randy Rushnack.
The Big R.
Hi, everybody.
That's getting fancy over there.
You've been holding back, haven't you?
Oh, just a little bit, yeah.
You've been preparing all month for that.
Well, 3 months. I just got it working. No, just kidding. Hi, everybody. Thanks for having us into your homes.
Exactly.
Or your trailers, cars. Or
into your mind, into your ears.
Into your mind. Let's do this properly.
Into your mind.
Oh, welcome, everybody. And as usual, there's lots to cover. And, you know, it seems like every month there's always something comes along that noteworthy to talk about. And before we get into that stuff, guess what, guys? You guys will never believe this, but another iOS has dropped. 11.3.1.
Security.
Security updates. Yes, it does include security, but it does a little bit more than that. Apparently.
And let me guess. There's new emojis.
I think what happened was that some people installed it on their device. And
oh, yeah.
The display wasn't working. It's like, how come the display is not working?
Suckers. Hello? Display problems because of non-proprietary stuff.
Yeah, apparently those that had gotten their phone fixed with a third-party display could not use 11.3.1. I'm thinking to myself, oh, my gosh. How much of that must have been a pain in the butt to, if you didn't have the display, how does a visual person get that off to get back to 11.3? Can you imagine?
Yeah. You'd have to take it to the store and have them do it somehow. There's not really any options there.
So fortunately, 11.3.1 addresses that. And I didn't realize that, you know, Apple always says this as well. You know, you should use our authenticated parts, you know. But I didn't realize that there are parts out there that are not the true display. And I guess these displays are not the actual, like, the original full spectrum screen as you originally got it. I didn't realize that.
Well, I kind of did. I actually went to Verizon and they put an Android screen on my phone.
It didn't just burst into flame right away?
It did. It just collapsed and it hasn't worked since the update.
Oh, man. Well, so I guess you pay for what you get, what you pay for. And yep. I guess the touch didn't work on it and things like that. So they're just trying to warn people to be aware of that. And I guess there was also an update for your Mac users out there for your 10.13.4. There was an update to fix a couple of security vulnerabilities. And you got a new Safari update. Woo! Mm. Yay. The other news about iOS 11, there's Apple just released yesterday or this time podcast that it is now available on 76% of the devices out there.
Wow.
I said, wow, that sounds pretty high, right? And I went to look to see where we were in iOS 10 at the same time that last year. Last year, we were 80%.
Uh-oh.
Mm-mm. I wish I had one of those sound bites to put, like, wah, wah, wah.
Well, you know.
That is still pretty good, though, when you compare it to the other popular option.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it goes back to that conversation we keep talking about. You know, if people are holding on their phone longer, maybe those people that dropped off on, that couldn't go to 11, maybe that's countable. I don't know, but it's just interesting that we're only at 76%. And, of course, now, Google, Android, Oreo, which is the latest one out there before P comes out, is at a whopping 4.6% in all devices.
That's about standard.
I can hear all the Android fans are going, ah, blah, blah,
blah, blah. Well, they're already upset about the comment that I made. So they're still, you know, they're getting further upset because of this podcast.
Oh, it's all good. It's all
good. It's like sports. We have to tease you guys. We don't mean it. It's just for fun.
I mean it.
it's just because our phones are better. That's all there is to it.
But we can make fun of Apple, too.
Oh, yeah. I love making fun of Apple.
Oh, yeah. So, speaking of Apple, here is one of the biggest news of the month, if not the biggest news, okay? Sarah Herlinger has been elected to be on the board of the National American Foundation of the Blind. I thought, well, first of all, for those that don't know who Sarah Herlinger is, I want to let you know that in short, she has this really long, complicated name. Okay, her title.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, I was like, it's like, I'm not saying that. I'll just tell you that she is the Apple Director of Accessibility. So she is the one you most likely have seen or heard at various keynotes and awards to accept awards or to speak about accessibility for the iPhone. So I don't know how this came down, if AFB asked her to join or if they just elected. I don't know how the process worked to get on the board. There's not much information about it other than she is now part of the AFB. And so she didn't quit Apple. I want to make everybody understand that. She didn't quit Apple. She's just is now participating upon the board to make decisions and insights to other people to help them to give them directions. So when you guys heard that, what did you guys think?
I think it's great. I mean, hopefully the conversations that happen during their meetings will go back to Apple and hopefully make some, you know, more positive changes.
Yeah, and I think when people actually are on the board that already are dealing with accessibility issues, it's always a good deal, and I'm just glad that she's there.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, okay, so now we have like a direct connection from Apple within an organization like this. So there's no more like, we're going to contact Apple to talk about this problem. It's like you have it. It's like you got an inside track to Apple, you know?
Yeah, that was the most exciting thing for me. It's like, ooh, there's a connection now.
Exactly. Now, I'm going to be booed on this, and I know I'm going to get a lot of hate mails for this, I'm sure.
So what's new?
Wonder why she didn't go with the largest, which is the NFB. I've wondered, honestly. I said, wow, I don't know. Well, I'm not going to assume anything, but I'm curious. There had to be, well, I don't know what happened there, but I was surprised it wasn't NFB.
Well, there's like a lot of, there's like three or four factions that she could have went to. And so you're wondering why the one that she went to is where she ended up with, right?
Yeah, she could have gone to ACB, right?
Yeah.
There could be a bunch of different reasons. Maybe she just grew up with somebody or knew somebody that's already involved with that one. We're like, oh, I'll do that. Or maybe, yeah. I don't know. Had a bad experience with the NFB. Who knows? Like, there could be a bunch of reasons. Just throwing ideas out
there. we'll go with that.
Now the hate mail's coming in. I'm just
saying. Not everybody has a good experience.
All right. Well, as we're moving along here.
Okay. Bring
it. I got thick skin.
All right, so, and then, okay, now, on our last month, we were telling you about the new iOS 11.3 drop, but so was the new update for 11.3.4 for the Mac, and now, a lot of people are reporting now that they're seeing this message pop up whenever they open up a 32-bit app on their Mac saying, hey, just want to let you know that this may not be supported in future Mac version. And I thought, oh my goodness, that sounds awfully familiar, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes.
You know, I'm kind of mixed on this because I sort of kind of got it when the iPhone came out, but when it comes to the Mac, I was kind of perplexed because, you know, that's like saying Microsoft Windows, okay, we're now going to disband all 32-bit. Okay, can you imagine all the apps and software on either of those platforms, how much that's going to impact? iOS was one thing, but platform, that is huge, I thought.
I'm not stoked because I use Amadeus Pro all the time and I run it in 32-bit mode because I have a huge pile of plugins and stuff that are all 32-bit. So
you do?
For sure. Yeah, that's for sure going to have to change. I can run it in 64-bit mode, but none of my plugins will work, which kind of sucks.
Yeah, I would imagine if you're running it in 64-bit, some of your applications, not yours, but you know, everybody's, would... And they're claiming stable issues or unstable issues, I should say, with some of the 64-bit applications, at least on the Windows side. I can name like two of them that I know of. So we got to really be mindful of that.
This is one of those things that I think the transition is might be a bit painful, but once it's over with, everything will be fine. But
yeah, that's the problem. How many of our 32-bit app on the iOS never went to 64?
Yeah, the change is always hard.
There's like three or four of them that I've used on the iPhone side that I can say that I really miss that haven't switched over. What about you guys?
I'm trying to think if there's any that I regularly use, to be honest with you.
Well, the big player for me is Shoutcast.
I've never even used Shoutcast.
Wow. Well, I have a lot. I have a lot.
I never did.
Yeah.
I didn't realize Shoutcast. So, yeah, I mean, Shoutcast, there was a couple of, unfortunately, there was a handful of blind-specific audio games that went away. I'll be honest, it's been so long. I know I lost a few. Most of them went to 64-bit, which is thankful. My NPR News Hour was one of them that didn't go to 64-bit for a long time. Actually, it wasn't even available when it switched over until some months down the road, and then they finally popped on. I said, oh my gosh, that's great, they're back. So I don't know, I just figured that I think it's going to impact the Mac a lot harder, especially, you know, the Mac in a professional world is where I think it's going to hit the hardest. Yes, I think, like Mike was saying, all of his plugins, I'm thinking all the audio gurus out there, video gurus that use all these effects, all these third-party apps they use for the plugins. God, who knows? I don't know how that will affect illustrators and stuff like that.
Because updates generally come slower to programs on the computers than they do.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. And, you know, although Apple says they're not given a time frame, but I mean, the writing's on the wall. I mean, if it was like anything what iOS did, and they did mention it back in WWDC last year for the Mac developers, who said that the next Mac update, which would be, what is it, 11.14 or 10.14, and when that drops, then there will be no support. But they never specifically said that, so we'll see. We'll see. So that could be as soon as this fall.
Twitter's going to be a fun time when that happens.
Oh, yes.
Angry
tweets.
Yeah, so as you probably heard, if you haven't heard about this, if you've been hiding under the rock or you're just not reading the news, I get it. If you are using a Twitter app besides the actual native Twitter app, so if you're using like I use Twitterific for myself.
Me too.
And I also use, well, so I use Twitterific on my iPhone, my Mac, and then I use Chicken Nugget for the Microsoft platform. So you use Twitterific, Randy?
Randy is my name, yeah.
Yeah, Randy, whatever your name is over there. The guy that dropped the mic, yeah. What do you use on your computer then?
I used to use Chicken Nugget for the longest time, and then it really started giving me issues. So I switched over to Christopher's going to love this. TW Blue.
Oh,
that's what I used too. I got sick of feeling hungry every time I looked at Twitter. So
yeah, well.
So what do you use then, Mike?
I use a TW Blue on Windows, Night Owl on my Mac, and I just use a Twitter app on my iPhone.
Okay, so you use the native Twitter app.
Yeah, it's pretty crappy, mm-hmm. but I use it.
Okay, so what are we talking about for those people that don't know what we're talking about? Well, Twitter announced last year, they made a comment that a new beta was going to be coming out that would replace the existing APIs. So what this
API,
an API is a tool that a third party tool can use to access information from Twitter. So in other words, Twitterific is not owned by Twitter per se, right? And so they will put this little tool within their software that allows them to pull all the information they need to make it whatever design they have for Twitterific. So you get all the Twitter information. The two most notable thing is every time you get notifications, so somebody sends you a direct message or mention you, whatever, however you have it set up, that's called push notifications. That's part of the API kit. And the other part is real-time notifications. What is that? That means that if you have your Twitterific up or whatever have not, it's in real time. So as soon as somebody tweets, it's right there. It's like it shows up within seconds. Otherwise, in the old days, we used to have to refresh it. So it would pull it like every 3 minutes automatically for you. And so it would pull you, or you have to manually refresh it to see what new tweets have gone past in the last 3 minutes. Does that make sense to you guys? Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And so the original bombshell that Twitter decided this month was to say, oh, by the way, that API is going to be killed off on June 19th. And everybody was like, what? You never told us about this yet?
Yeah,
and it hasn't even been in beta yet? How are we supposed to do this? And so I guess there was enough backlash by the community and by...
Wow, what do they expect?
I know. Can you believe it? And so they said, okay, we will... for now, we will suspend indefinite to be announced when the new beta API will come out. But when that new beta API comes rolling out for the developers, they'll have exactly 90 days to incorporate that new API into their software. However, that's not all. There's a catch 22 in this, and this is what people are getting really upset about. Even with this new API, you will still get some notification, not all the notification, only some, and it will no longer offers those software to be able to have real time Twitter feeds. So we'll go back to the dinosaur days where we have to manually refresh it or retrieve it every so many minutes. I was like, you can't do that. You give this option and then you say you can't have this option. What is the deal?
I wouldn't mind so much if the Twitter apps weren't garbage. Like, there's pictures everywhere and it tries to show me like, hey, recommended stuff. And I tell it, stop showing me this, and it'll pop up the very next time. Like, it's very clunky, especially on the phone. It's just kind of a pain to use. And it's been years since I've tried like actually using Twitter itself on any computer. But they're not good. That's the reason all these other apps exist.
Same here. Yeah. Twitter on the computer. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of, it sucks that they're forcing this issue when they can't even make a good app. That's what bothers me about it.
Yeah. And, you know, and I use it because, you know, when keynotes come around, they usually have this live Twitter feed. And now it's going to be delayed. So any breaking news or any update news, you'll have to sit there and keep refreshing, see what's going on.
Yeah.
If you're not actually listening to keynote. I mean, I know that's just a minor aspect of it, but the whole point is it forces all these software developers, all this money they poured into something to push it. You know, you bought that software for a reason and you bought it for all this cool stuff. I wonder if Twitter is wanting to I don't know if they're losing money because people are going to the third-party APIs because it states here, and only mentioned it once, is that the third parties are asking about the push notification. They're going to break the real-time, but they said the notification, they will only get some, and it will come with a new pricing scale. I said, oh, God. What? You're going to charge him for being able to use notification and only some. So I don't know how they're going to stay in business if they keep charging them. But I get it. Twitter needs to make money too. But this is kind of like a, I don't know what the word is.
So I don't want to really, you know, start a whole big deal or say something drastic, but you know how you get some of these people that are using applications, and if they decide to charge for it or you know, really modify it or whatever, they're, you know, you hear, I'm leaving this app. And you kind of feel like you're entitled. And that's the way we've kind of dealt with Twitter for the longest time. But, you know, to be honest with you guys, if it becomes so much of a hassle, I won't even look at Twitter anymore.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
I only use it for news anyway. I rarely talk to actual people on Twitter.
Oh, that's why you never mention.
I don't even know if I follow. I have no idea. I don't know who I follow. I just.
Well, yeah,
I don't know.
I'm on Twitter all the time. A lot of people ask questions there. Ask questions there. I do mention, I do tweet a lot of news. But, you know, okay, so I have to play devil's advocate. So here we have Facebook. There are no third parties because they don't allow third party. And so.
Yeah, but they suck for accessibility. I'm sorry, but.
Yeah, that's what I was coming to is that, okay, so. You force us to use Facebook, that's great, but the accessibility is bad. And I'm not saying the Twitter app, you know, it works sometimes, and then an update comes out and they break something. So it isn't consistent of being accessibility is always top priority. That's the problem. I can be pretty darn sure that Twitterific is going to be working very well every update.
Yeah,
I think for the most part.
Well, and that's just the thing is those third party apps kind of strip out the extra garbage that the Twitter app tries to do that, at least in my opinion, does not work well. Like when I go to my notifications, it shows me like this person followed you. Then it's a picture and then it's their description. Like it's just very kind of clunky the way that it works. And it just takes extra time, which really is not a big deal. It's me being spoiled. But I'm like this. I have to flick three times. Are you kidding me? This is ridiculous. I should flick once. But.
It works. It does work. I get it. And I do agree with you. But there are some things I like about other third parties that offers tools that Twitter doesn't.
I agree.
So do you think this is going to be really an impact on how we work with Twitter? Because do you guys remember back when we were doing podcasts still way back in those days? We were talking about Windows 7. We were talking about... Oh my gosh. You know, you were, don't update because this is going to happen. Do you think this is going to be, and then, you know, a few months later, everything straightened out. Are we crying wolf too much? Do you think, or
probably honestly, that's how I feel about most things is, people, you know, people are upset for a week, maybe 2 weeks, and then it blows over. And there's a couple people that stay mad about it, but for the most part, everybody moves on. It's just like with the Mac, changing to 64-bit, it's going to be a tough transition, but give it a month or two, maybe three. Most people aren't going to care anymore.
When this was announced by Twitter, the blind community, I shouldn't say the, like with a capital T, but a lot of the blindness community was like, oh, don't take our Twitter away. I mean...
Well, that's the thing. It's not taking the Twitter away, okay?
No.
Here's the deal. Okay, so we don't know. So this big dark cloud is coming.
No, we don't. Nope.
But don't run for this. Don't. The sky isn't falling. So here's the deal. We would be basically going back to what we used to be accustomed to. So I was back into the cube one time.
Oh, yeah.
And it refreshed every 3 minutes. And that's how it used to be. And I was as happy as a clam. And I was able to have something very accessible to use Twitter. So, no, I am not personally going to dump Twitter because of what they're doing. Not at all.
No, I'm not either.
Do I hate their decision? Do I dislike what they're doing? I do. However, is it the only way you're going to be able to stay black and to stay in business? Because I'd rather them stay in business and start making money than go away entirely.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's catch 22. Yeah, it's going to hurt some third party. They're going to lose some things that were great perks, but at the end of the day, I have to be real and say, well, Twitter means a lot to me and I want to keep it alive. So I, if that's a sacrifice I have to do, then I guess that's what I do. But I can hear people saying, well, we shouldn't have to sacrifice. Okay, I get that. There are going to be people that are going to say that.
But at the same time, it's like you guys were just saying, it's not your app. So you just have to roll with the punches sometimes. That's the way it works. You can be angry all you want. Let them know. Go for it. But at the end of the day,
right,
have one choice, really.
See, now here's another interesting news. Now, this is all speculation, but still speculation. A lot of expert are now are weighing in on this one. I thought was interesting was there were news out of Bloomberg. Bloomberg has a pretty good track record of hearing sources inside of Apple, and they were talking about going to use a Mac and dump the Intel chip to an Apple branded chip of their own. That doesn't surprise me at all.
No.
Neither. To you?
Mm-mm. I'm not surprised. I'm kind of surprised it's taken this long, to be honest with you. Like,
yeah.
They're making screens. They're working on everything.
Well, I'm trying to think. Now, do you guys remember what it was before Intel? Was it Motorola chips?
I don't recall.
I don't recall either. I thought for some reason it was Motorola's. But anyway, they introduced Intel back in 2006. So I was like, oh, okay. I haven't been in the Mac world that long, so I don't know this information, but I do know that I looked it up. It was 2006. But a lot of experts saying, you know, they weren't surprised. It wasn't a matter of if, but a matter of when. So that part, they were all consensus about. Now, the problem is that Apple has a tall order to fill when they want to just get rid of Intel, because isn't that simple? What I found out, and I didn't realize this, I keep hearing things about how powerful and how strong these ARM processors are, but I wanted to do some comparisons. So the experts are saying right now, the chips that we have in our iPhones now and the Pros are an equivalent to a low-end i3, i5 processor. I was like, ooh, that's kind of ugly. And so the ARM processors are smaller. Apparently, one of the reasons why they want to go their own way is obviously they want to control better of their chip so it can do specialized function like they have done with matter of fact, I think iPad Pro, I don't know if you guys knew this, but the security processor on there is a T2 processor that is designed by Apple to deal with security on that. And then obviously the MacBook Pro, the touch bar, that is all ARM chip as well. So I learned some new things as I was researching, but and they said 2 years, that would be pretty hard to do. And one of the reasons they want to dump Intel, not only because they want to have their own chip, but Intel has been kind of dragging their feet. Now, you guys remember back in the days, I used to remember this, that every year, Intel will come up with a chip that's double the speed.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, that was pretty standard. It's like it was doubling every single year.
Yeah, it would either double the speed or like the next chip was like half the size or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I went from a 286 to a 386 to a 486 to, you remember that? And then we went to the Pentiums. And
mm-hmm. Yep, that was right after the aliens landed here.
Yeah, that's right. We stole the technology. We were able to do that. Yeah. But I guess Intel has been having a lot of stagnation issue lately, and they have not been able to sustain that since 2015. And so they have just been making it more streamlined, making it more efficient, but the actual speed is not all that dramatically faster compared for today's computer on these 2018 Intels to 2015 Intels. Not that much of a difference. I was surprised. Back in the days, we used to double. So that's not good enough for Apple. They need it. They need more and more and more and more. You know how they are. They want more. And I think they think that's the only direction they're going to be able to take this with if they do it themselves, right?
Yep.
There's got to be a point where they can't get faster, right?
I would think so.
Yeah, there's got to be a point where I click this button and it literally can't open any faster than it just did.
Well, that's, yeah.
Then what do they do?
Well, let's kind of take it back into the Edison days. They thought that there was nothing could replace musicians after they died. They would, after they died, the record, would go blank and you wouldn't hear them anymore. All right. Then they discovered, that wasn't working. So after the first sided record came out, after the cylinder came out, they had a flat record that only had one side. Then they said, this can't be better. And then they went from one side to a two sided disc. So things progressively get better and faster. And, maybe to say that things can't get any faster, who are we to say? We don't know. I mean,
maybe it'll just read your thoughts.
I'm reading yours right now. And I.
Yes, I mean, you're absolutely right. For those electronic buffs, you talk about how small the circuits can get. And right now, I think I could be wrong. I'm sure some nerd out there will probably say yes or no, but I think Intel stuck with the 10 nano size, where Apple is going to be coming out with a 7 nano. And that's a huge difference. I know that it doesn't make sense in size to people, but obviously the smart, but I'm with Mike. There's a point where you're going to come to a point where you can't get any smaller. You just have to do something different.
I feel like the step isn't going to be about speed or size anymore. There's going to be some other change to the technology or how it operates or something like that, like a fundamental change to how we use it, not necessarily related to its size or its speed. Like, it's going to enable something, some new, I don't know what it could be, but it'll be cool. Whatever it is, it's going to be neat. But
the Apple has a challenge here though, because if the ARM processor can't be as fast as Intel, it makes no sense to go to that. I mean, people need that speed.
I'm not going to buy a new computer that's slower.
Yeah, especially if I spent $5,000 on an iMac Pro.
Right.
It's like, are you kidding me? So, some of the experts saying that they have a tall order. They got a mountain to achieve to get to the point where they're at an equivalent speed, because right now the ARM chip is designed for efficiency. The horsepower is just really lags behind. So that is what it's been going on. They're talking about 2 years away. Mm-hmm. And, as I mentioned before, this is all speculation, but it's also kind of a keep your ears open, because they're starting to take over things on those devices. They're just buying stuff their own. They're changing up, as we were mentioning last month about the screen display, how they were thinking about bringing out their own screen display. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like Apple's starting to bring in more in-house if they can in the next, what's to say, 5 or 10 years.
Do you guys remember when you first got your iPhone 5S's and you took them out of the box and you opened them up and we'd call each other up and we'd go, oh, this is just amazingly fast. You guys remember that?
Yes. It's so light. It feels like it's hollow. Yeah.
And, we used it and it just couldn't be anything better out there. Well, I was working with a student just this past week and sorry. Compared to what we have now, man, you just wait and wait for things to happen. And it's maybe 2 seconds instead of a half a second. And that seems like forever for these things, for the camera to focus and for the processor to start talking again and for everything. But, back in those days, it was fast for us. And now it's... there's just no comparison at all.
No, there's not.
My kids have an old phone of mine, it might be like a 5S, something like that. And anytime I touch it, we'll open an app. And I'm
come on.
Shaking it. Hurry up. It's a whole second of my life this is taking.
That's what it is. Oh, it's a second. But you hate it, don't you?
It's very frustrating.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes Bluetooth headphones are sometimes hard for me. Because I'm you're trying to type with the AirPods sometimes can be super annoying because of that tiny, teeny little delay, but it feels so inconvenient.
Yep.
Oh, I totally agree. Isn't that funny? Spoiled. I still got a 5S. I was pulling it out the other day and I was playing with this. Good Lord, this is so slow. Really, it wasn't that much slower. I'm talking like what Randy was saying, maybe a second behind. And it's like, it doesn't swipe as fast as nearly as fast as it does now. But it's like, you know, we were so happy with that. We were it worked.
I'm getting older too. And I don't swipe as fast as I used to either.
Yeah. So it's equaling back out for you. But I still remember like dial up sounds and like waiting for this picture to load. Like, I'll be back in 10 minutes to see what this picture is. Let's go get a snack.
Well, just to stray for the subject, you know, as you were saying, Mike, I remember the days when I got called on the phone and somebody said, I have this talking dictionary for you to load onto your computer on your 386. And I went, really? It talks? The dictionary talks? Yep. Can I have it? Oh, absolutely. So he said, I'll send you the information. And he sent it to me. And I waited all night. And it was like I 14.4 baud, you know, 14.4 baud, and I would go to bed, I'd get up, and it'd still be downloading.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
Those are fun days.
Those are good old days.
And I miss those sounds too.
The squealing.
Yeah. Now you don't have any sounds. You just get on and go and.
Uh-huh. I remember my sister would pick up the phone. She would pick up the phone and go. I want to call my friend. And then all of a sudden, it just ruined your download you had for 24 hours.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Man. See, I never got to use the internet very much. I got four sisters. They were always in like AOL chat rooms.
Yeah.
I just went outside.
Oh, man. So, yeah. So, this is a possibility that this may be coming. But, you know, off the same heel of this, it was interesting to note because we were just talking about this last month about the possibility of having a hybrid iOS on the Mac. And Tim Cook says, absolutely not. I see no point of this. So he made an official statement to say that. But I wonder if that was premature for him to say that or what. So, you know.
Nah, everything he says is gospel.
Come yeah. So what I'm trying to say is that any of this stuff that we talk about may never happen, but interesting. It's very
everything you guys know is going to change. Don't get attached to any of your devices, your apps. It's all
right. It's all Apple's time. They'll let you know what they want you to have.
Yeah, they'll tell you how to use it. They'll tell you what accessories you get. Just relax, you guys.
There was a comment that I can remember. A comedy group was out there back in the 80s called the Fire Sign Theater, and one of their albums was called Everything You Know Is Wrong. this is kind of like Apple.
True.
You know? Yep.
Well, that's just some media for you. It just amazes me how much one media will report something and everybody spins off on it. And whether that's a fact or not, it just blows my mind how they blow this out of proportion sometimes.
I remember I don't remember which phone version it was, and maybe it was the 6, but there was some random website said that they were going to have like a laser keyboard where you could stand your phone up and it would like project a keyboard in like red laser onto your phone.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
People were talking about that forever, and there was never a laser keyboard. I'm still
waiting. Yeah. It was supposed to display a keyboard.
Yeah.
And then you put your finger on it and it recognized what you're typing. I remember that.
Yeah, I remember everybody, like so many people were talking about that, super stoked about it, and it never came out, and everybody just stopped talking about it.
Never came out. You know. So the reason I bought it was Bloomberg brought it up, and they're a big house. So, you know, we can blame Bloomberg for being wrong, right?
Yeah.
Did you guys get a chance to listen to the we did an AppleViz Extra number 55 with Dave Nason and myself? We did an interview with Costa for FlickType. And
come on, Tom, you know I always listen to your stuff. There's no reason to ask.
I did not. Of course. Sure you did. So if people are asking, what is this FlickType? Well, this is the app of the month. I kind of went to bring this up. If you haven't heard of it, it just got released to the public. Download and give it a try. Have you guys used Flexi before?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, we had the Flexi guys on the Accessible Devices podcast. We had the inventor of that app on there. You remember that, Tom, you know, when you both of us had them on around the same time.
Yeah, we did.
On different podcasts.
Well,
mine was better. Yeah. What about yours? We had a really good.
You beat me to it.
We both had a good interview with them and a good time. It was a lot of fun.
Well, I tell you, there was a lot of ups and downs with that.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh.
I was one of the ones that spent $20 on it too.
Oh, were you really?
Yeah. When it first came out. Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. For those that don't know, you know what we're talking about. Flexi used to be this keyboard app. So it's an app that allows you to type a lot faster. And you're probably asking yourself, how is that possible? It really, really does. It's very hard to explain to you because there's no, like, you know, right now when we get a little QWERTY keyboard, it comes up on our screen, right? And we have to find the letter Q until it says Q, and then we have to tap that, and then we have to go to all the way over here for P. We have to find P. Well, there is no keys here. So if you are familiar with the QWERTY keyboard, so you just kind of, like, if you're going to spell my name Thomas, you can just kind of in your mind know where those letters are on the keyboard. So you just kind of virtually go over there where you think the T is, and then come down for the H, and then go all the way across to the right for the, and up for the O, and way down to the bottom for M, and all the way back to the left for an A, right next to an S. And it's called predictive typing, I think. I could be wrong with that.
You're right. You're right.
So it predicts and think what you're about to type. And man, it is incredibly accurate.
And it's so good. I put in Thomas. I started typing Thomas, and it's so predictive, it came out anonymous for me.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So Flexi came out with this first many, many years ago, and we have had a lot of turmoil with it. Okay, so there are some bad things that occurred, and, you know,
it was a blind version and a sighted version, and then the blind version went away.
And the real version doesn't work anymore.
Right.
Yeah, and it did start off as a blind app that was a paid app.
And then it went free because it went mainstream.
Yeah.
So give the podcast a listen. You'll get more of the story of what happened. But I was really anxious to do the podcast to give them the very difficult, hard questions. I just felt that it had to be real, and everybody had the same feelings I did and said, how do we know that you're going to stick with us? And Costa did a great job. I'm not going to go into all the details, so you go check out the podcast. So they had to introduce a new name because of the copyright. So it's called FlickType, FlickType. It's a free app, and it's out there now. I don't know what country it's available for. I believe it's only for the U.S. right now, I think I heard him say. And so be on the lookout for that. Now, the only drawback I have with this so far, and just like the Flexi originally, is that it's a standalone app. So you have to go to the app, type everything else, and then copy it, and then go to the place where you want to paste it. And I thought, I type fast, but this copy paste thing, really, I don't know. And so we had a discussion about that. And he is going to, once he nails down all the bug on this release, he is going to be now working on a system-wide keyboard. Whoa, is a game changer.
As long as it works. I hope it works. It'll be great if it does.
Well, man, yeah. If it works system-wide, hands down, that'll be the keyboard I'm going to use every time.
Absolutely. I still use it, even with the copy and paste, because there's in the settings, there's a little checkbox that you can set it to automatically copy when you close the app. So you can just type, hit the home button, and it'll copy it, and then go to wherever and paste. It takes a little bit, but still, compared to just typing on the regular keyboard, it's so much faster.
So I want to ask you guys, we're going to go back to this dictation thing for just a moment. Are you faster at dictation?
No.
Or are you faster at typing?
Well, that's a tough question, because if I'm in a quiet room and Siri actually understand what I just said, dictation be fast. But
good point.
Half the time it doesn't do it right. So yep. then typing is faster. And then Mike and I were just having this conversation earlier, is that if you live in a household where people's talking all the time, TV's on, Siri dictation is not going to work at all.
Yeah, I type because my house is generally so loud that, you know, that I get all kinds of weird words in there.
Well, when I'm out and about, I still do a lot of dictation. And for me, for some strange reason, it really gets it really spot on. All right. So having said that, I was driving to work. For those of you who may want to know, I've been...
You drive?
I drive, yeah. I drive and text at the same time. So I was brought out of retirement for a while, and you know, kind of it's kind of an in and out of retirement, which is neither here nor there. But having said that, as I was headed to work, I was dictating in a moving vehicle. You guys, I don't know if you guys ever tried that, but it's just totally worthless.
Especially if you're on a highway where it's noisy.
Oh yeah. Oh, you just can't do it. Siri's just horrible for, and they really have to get this pinned down, because if you're in a moving vehicle, and used to make it sound like, you know, like, I would like a cup of coffee, Jack. Would you like to meet for lunch? And I like a cup of coffee, Jack. Would you say? And it just doesn't happen that way anymore.
I'm not kidding you guys. It maybe when I dictate, it maybe gets it right 20% of the time. Maybe it's awful.
Weird because you have a very good speaking voice, you know, and it should.
My kids are loud. It's just if I'm ever alone, it can work, but I'm generally not. So
mm-hmm. Okay, well, let me throw a wrench in here, and this is gonna go to one of the tips that I want to give for the month. Okay, so you guys just sit down for this one now. For those that celebrate Easter, we celebrate Easter in my house, and my wife, or I'm sorry, kids, the Easter bunny.
Just a virtual Easter egg bunny thing?
Yeah, the Easter bunny gave me an Apple Watch.
Oh.
I'm up there. So, and the reason I brought that up, I said, I noticed the Siri dictation on my Apple Watch much better than my phone.
Yeah, back when my watch worked, I agree with that.
When it worked. Well, okay, we're going to open up a big can of worms. First of all, the Easter Bunny brought me an opened pack of M&Ms. That's what I got. And like 3 or 4 pieces were gone, so I don't know how you rate. What I have noticed with the Apple Watch since the latest update, I agree, Siri's really good. But the problem that I have is the dock on the latest update no longer functions like it should on the Apple Watch. It's not good like it used to be. You know what I mean? Because you want to open up notifications. Mine just sits here. I may as well have a regular wristwatch on.
Wow.
Well, yeah.
I was going to say, I absolutely love my watch.
I love mine too.
I kind of want to get a new one.
I've determined that you either love it or you're going to hate it. There is no in between.
That kind of goes without saying, doesn't it? You know.
Well, more so than I anticipated. I'll be straight honest with you. At first, I was like, you know, I heard so many people saying they wore it for a while and then now they just put it to the side and they never use it again because it's just an expensive watch. It just went to nothing. But you know, I get the fitness and the health aspect of it. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's huge. If you're into that kind of stuff, you need cardio, or if you have health issues, hands down. But anything beyond that, it really depends what you use. I mean, I use it religiously now for checking my notification, responding to email, responding to text,
yep.
And checking my event. It's all right there. And mm-hmm. if you are one of those people that do what I just mentioned, that's pretty much all it does. I was surprised how much the apps don't really do squat. Like
it's super convenient. And that's the thing I like about it is as soon as you feel it all tap, tap, you just lift it up and then I can tell you what's going on. Like, all right, cool. Dismissed. And then like just knowing instead of like, cause there's times now that I don't have it, I'll pick up my phone. It's like 17 notifications. I'm like, ugh, I don't even want to look through all these things. So I just won't. And then I get a phone call like 3 days later and someone's like, you don't ever respond to my text messages. Like, I didn't see it. Sorry. Like, yeah, it does help a lot. Convenient. It makes things much easier to just kind of keep up to date on what's going on. And now I feel like I'm always kind of like an ostrich with his head in the sand. People are like, you didn't see my post on Facebook.
But that happens all the time now in today's world. If you don't respond right away, it's like, well, are you mad at me? Or,
oh man, I'm constantly getting in trouble for that. My mom, my sisters, everybody.
I make it real simple for everybody. I just go, yep.
Yeah, I had to cut down the notifications. Ever since I got the watch, then I got stringent about, all right, when am I going to get notification? Because I used to get all sorts of crap going on my phone. I don't allow that anymore. I only want the most specific ones, and it's nice that you can separate the two so you can customize what notification you want. So like my emails, I can still get all five emails on my phone, but I only get alerted for one email.
It really can be handy. If you're one of the type of people that just likes to be organized and productive, and
exactly,
it would probably make your life a lot better. If you're maybe like me and a little bit more laid back and like, I'll just figure it out when I get there, whatever.
Well, I have the T-Mobile. Sorry. I've got the T-Mobile app. I got the T-Mobile watch. And so I'm on their cell program, so I can just leave my phone behind and receive calls if I want or whatever. Wow. And I really, really like it, because for me, it just works. For other people, they go, don't really need it. For me, I like it. I don't have that.
No, I was one of those people. I was thinking, I can't find any justification why I need it. I have my iPhone. I pull it out all the time, look at it. But you know what? I was so wrong. It's just so hard to explain until you use it. But that's with the caveat, like I said, now everybody's different. And so what it was useful for me was dramatic. I love it. I love my Apple Watches.
But I really miss the fitness aspect of it. That's what I use mine for the most.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I found out I had a heart.
Fantastic.
Well, yeah. So there's so much. I mean, this could be for a whole new topic and a whole different subject. But the tip I came up for this, as I was using my Apple Watch, I realized something, and I could not believe for the life of me. I said, you have got to be kidding me. Apple did not put this in. There is no way. It doesn't back up your settings and app arrangement like your iPhone does. I was like, where's a backup for this thing? There was like none. And you guys ever come across that?
Yeah, just the other day I did. I was working, I was showing a student, he was really interested in Apple Watch. So this is great. You'll love this. So my contacts obviously are all on my watch. Mm-hmm. And so I said, let's just say I would text you. I'd say, text Thomas Domville. And immediately, you know, it would respond, and you just string it all. So text Thomas Domville, are we going to meet for lunch? Mm-hmm. And then you just tell it to send, and boom, off it goes. But when I was showing the student, I'd say, text Thomas Domville. You don't seem to have a Thomas Domville in your contacts. Well, I know I do. So nothing, every contact, I'd say, okay, well, I do, but I'll show you another contact. So I started going down the line with my work people. You don't have a, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so there was no backup for me to do it. So I had to go and resync the watch with my phone in order for it to grab my contacts.
That's crazy. So for the people that don't know what we're talking about, so on your iPhone, so everything you do on there, if you have the backup turned on, it automatically syncs it to the cloud and you have a backup. So if something were to go wrong with your iPhone, you had to get a new iPhone, you just restore from that last point you made a backup. The watch, there is nothing like that at all. You cannot save your stuff. So I found this tip. What a pain in the rear. But there is a way to back up your iWatch and or Apple Watch. So if you are going to get a new watch or a new phone, you need to do the following. And check this out. We're going to see how crazy and stupid this is. So on the iPhone, we have the watch app. That's how we connect with our watch with everything. So under the watch app, under the iPhone, you go under the settings, general, and then to the settings, in the under settings, there's a reset. You have to reset your entire contents and settings. That like literally wipes your watch. And so you're thinking to yourself, well, that should be the completely opposite thing we should do, right? And I'm thinking, yeah, it should be. But when you do this, it will then create a backup on your iPhone of what you had your Apple Watch set to. And once you reset your iWatch, then you can then make sure that on your iPhone that you can go under your iCloud, or I'm sorry, your phone under storage, and you'll see that your Apple Watch is located in the storage area, and it says Tom's Apple Watch backup. So it's on there. And then you have to tell the iPhone to make sure you back that up. So on the iPhone, you have to hit backup now so it gets put into the cloud. Once that's all done, guys, then you repair your phone or your Apple Watch and restore everything to your watch again. And you know the process to do that is a long time.
Oh,
that's first of all, crazy, because yeah, everything else is usually so simple.
Yeah. And that's repair, not repair as in fix, but repair. Yeah.
Repaired.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And for me, this simple little tiny process takes an hour for me to get everything back again.
Yeah, it takes forever. And so I was just totally baffled. And I was like, that's what I meant. I said, Apple, you've got to be kidding me. You have got to put this in the next Apple Watch version that we should have a backup.
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous.
That's just ridiculous.
Because that's one of the things Apple always talks about, is it's just so simple to use. It's intuitive and feels natural. Like there's nothing natural about this, backing up this Apple Watch.
So here's those, you know, we were just talking about how we say things about Apple that we do about Androids. Here's a great example. I'm calling Apple out. This is terrible. This is horrible how you do it. That's the only way I can back up my Apple Watch. It's crazy. So that is my tip. So it is possible. You'll have to be patient. You have to go through all that process. It'll be in the show note. There's a link that'll tell you step by step how to do it if you are interested in blowing away your iWatch.
Yeah, just order some pizza, put on a movie, and start the process. You'll be getting home.
But seriously, the third series is wonderful watch to own.
Is that, man, I need to go. I should check them out. I bought the very first one. That's the one I still try to use, but I have to like whack it on the desk. And
like the old days when you had to shake your watch to get it to tick again.
Yeah. Well, you know, the prices aren't too bad. I've been seeing Best Buy having a lot of prices on the Series 3. They've been knocking them down $50, $80 here and there. And then I know Walmart's been, it's not a bad watch. So if you can't afford $300, I understand. The Series 1 is still being sold. And they have had a couple sales since the past month, $100 off. So it's $150 for the 38 and $169 for the 42. Is that what it called?
Yeah, something like that. And also be on the watch for your carriers to subsidize the watch. If you want to go that route, which I did, I'm paying, I don't know, what is it, $17? $16, $17 a month for the next 1,000 years.
Yeah, right.
But I'm still doing it. It's a 2-year plan. And really, that's the only way I could get it, because that just is, you know.
Right.
So at least I have one.
That might be a good idea. Look with the carrier and see what they can do.
Hmm. Yep.
I didn't know that. I definitely should check that out. Huh. Well, that's great advice for people there. And I'm going to give you one more tip, and I think that's going to be it for this podcast.
All right.
Now, I know some of you are probably asking myself, why am I missing? But, you know, when you connect your phone onto the computer, it says, do you trust this device? And you have to say yes and all that stuff. And I didn't realize that it stores all that information. So every time you go back to that computer, you know, I used to be where I would set up my computer and everybody in my family would come up and give me their phone. And then I would update it to the new iOS without the quick way, because I had the actual IFSO, whatever you call it, and I just paste it right back on there so I can update their phone quicker. Well, anyway, I didn't realize that gets stored onto your phone, just like all the Wi-Fi users you've ever had gets that you connected to get stored. And so if you ever feel like you have connected to somebody else's computer and you've trusted it, there is a way to reset that. Now, it does have a catch, and it just like the one before, you go to your settings, you go to general under reset, and then you say erase network information. I believe it's called, let me see.
Better get it right.
Right now we got all these people that are calling in and
and so the caveat is that when you do that, you wipe out all the Wi-Fi connection you've ever had on that device. So your mom, your friend, your house, you will have to put all that Wi-Fi back in. But so people are saying, oh, that's not a very good tip. I tell you what, I'm on the road a lot, and I go to hotels a lot, and I connect onto their network a lot. I can't imagine how many Wi-Fi I have set on that device.
Oh, yeah.
I bet there's a ton. And well, so
for those of you that might not think it's a big deal, what do they call it? Trust jacking. Carefully Google that. There are ways for people to hack and get all your info because if you trust the wrong computer. So there might be a very good reason for doing this.
Mm-hmm. Trust jacking. I never heard that.
Yeah. That's
okay. I'll look at that. But, you know, regardless, it's not a bad idea every so often because it clears out all the Wi-Fi cache and everything. And so that is an advice that I wanted to give to you guys. I thought that was interesting. I didn't realize that when you trust something, it stores on your device, and I want to untrust that computer. Unfortunately, there's only that way to do it, which is kind of a drastic way, but it's there.
Hmm. Well, thanks for that. Now, while we're on the subject of trusting and iOS, I just want to ask before we leave, not the very latest update, but the not the security update, but the one just before that, when they claimed better battery life. How is your battery life since you updated to that, to the 11.3 update? How is your battery life, Ben?
I have not had any problems.
Same. Yeah, mine's been great.
Mine increased 30% maybe. Like I can go all day now. Jeez. And it's just
tremendous. Yeah. I was just about to say, I thought you were going to go down the path like it's gotten worse.
No.
Mine has increased a little bit, not like a lot, but it has been better. Instead of coming home to 40-50%, I'm now coming home to between 50-60%.
Well, I wake up at like 5 o'clock in the morning when I'm working, and when I come home, now granted, I'm not using it as much when I'm at work as I do, you know, when I'm not. But I come home now, and it's like at 51%. That's pretty good.
Wow. No, that'd be a great question to ask. Yeah, have you guys noticed any difference? And this is for the users out there. We'd like to hear about it. I would like to know if it has gotten better. I think it has, and I like it. And I think we mentioned last month how more mature it is. It still has some quirks, and I think there's some new bugs that was introduced, you know, like the display not working, and just little things like that that wouldn't affect most of us, but overall it's been a pretty good experience, I think.
Yeah, I'm happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
And your inbox now has two articles on trust jacking just for your reading pleasure.
Awesome. Thank you. So, well,
I said it. Yeah. And I was like, man, I hope I didn't make that up. So
just don't open up that link, Tom.
It's well, the first one was like semantic. The second one's from Wired. It's fine. But yeah, I said it, I was like, I wonder if I feel like that might be a term you could get into some trouble with maybe Googling. So.
Well, so that advice did work out for so security conscious people that have trusted computers that you would not ever go back to. Maybe that's not a bad idea to do. So thank you.
Yep. Those ex-girlfriends and ex-boyfriends you trusted.
Oh, that's true. Man. Well, I expect next month is going to be just as busy, and I think it's going to be even more so busy because there's a lot of people analyzing the doom and gloom. The quarterly report is going to be out in May for Apple, so we'll have that in our next month's podcast, we'll be going over the fiscal report, see how they fared last quarter. And then maybe there might be a possibility. A lot of rumblings talking about the new iPhone SE 2. An update for it. We'll see if that's true or not.
I'm curious.
Doubt it, but we'll see.
That's about it.
Hey, love the SE. I love the SE. I hope they do get an update. That's going to be huge.
Well, I hope so. I do. I got friends that have.
You do? Oh, I thought that was the end of your sentence.
Regardless of what you guys think out there, yes, I have friends.
He drives to work and have friends.
I've learned all kinds of things today.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are hilarious.
Well, I'd like to say it was a pleasure, but I just can't. So there you go.
Oh, no, it's you guys are great. Awesome.
Great show.
Thank you so much. And once again, you guys can email us. I have had quite a few people emailing me at unleash@applevis.com with all sorts of great questions. Just keep them coming. I'll try to answer them if I can. And I'll spread it to the other gang if I can't answer it. And so keep them coming. You never know. They might be on a podcast in future cast for other people to hear if it's something notable that everybody should know about. And you can do the same on applevis.com. When we post this podcast, you can leave a comment there as well.
And I'd like to say thanks for everybody that has been tweeting me. Still, Twitter's working. And every comment, I really wanted to echo my sentiments to you guys. Thanks for all the good, kind words and everything, because we all love doing this show.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll just echo that. You guys tell me. I don't even know if I follow you two on Twitter. I'll go find out.
You know what I'm known on as Twitter?
The big R.
All right. Together.
I just can't say it like that. But either way, you guys, all of you listening, we really do appreciate it. So thank you.
I think Randy has me blocked. I think he has me blocked. I don't know.
Who are you again? Ananaville?
Naughtyville. I don't
know. Of course not. All right, guys. Well, this is going to be the Applevis Unleashed of April 2018. Until next month, I'll see you guys all later. Goodbye.
This podcast has been brought to you by the community of Applevis. For the latest in resources and tips and tricks to help you get the best experience from your Apple device, visit us online at www.applevis.com.